All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Tennis of Melbourne Convo and City of Love. 7:30 in the morning in Melbourne. Timmy, what's the time over there?
In Texas, Dallas, it's almost 2:30 in the afternoon on a Tuesday.
Texas, Dallas. Wow, Texas, Dallas. All right. So, briefly, you want to tell all our listeners where you exactly, not address, but where you exactly are situated, and how's the weather over there?
Okay, so I am based in Plano, Dallas, which is around 20-minute drive outside of Dallas, a small suburb. I'm in Collin College, which is the organization of the university.
Okay, and that's a Division One, yeah?
Junior college.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, Timmy, we did a convo last year, and I still remember you were on your way to training. you did it in the car, and this time you're now, you know, in America. Now, first impression of the touchdown onto the state of America. Is there like any vibe or the air, something you want to share with us?
I've been here before in 2015 when I was traveling for the Orange Bowl and the Eddie Hearn, two biggest junior tournaments in the world. Honestly, like, what I remember from then was, honestly, everything's bigger here. Like, so, bigger cars, bigger, you know, everything's just more expanded. The whole system is just bigger. So when you go to your shopping centres, everything's just double the size what you see in a regular Melbourne shopping. Where you go to Aldi or Coles, you know, everything is just, it's double the size. And honestly, I remember from, you know, the 6 years when I've been here, very similar. Similar to Texas, basically. Everything's just pretty big, and everyone here is pretty nice and very, very comforting. Honestly, first time in Texas, honestly, very similar layout to what we have in Australia. Like, very, like, a lot of dry grass in the country. It's like basically in like Albury or Donga area.
Okay. So everything is bigger. Everything is, I guess, how about the restaurants or the food and everything? Is it just like give you everything, like coffee extra large? Is like a 2-liter bottle coffee or French fries is like a bucket? What's it like?
So basically, our large in Australia is considered to be like a medium or a small in America. So everything, like, our large is like in America small. The extra large in Australia is like our in America like a medium. Mm-hmm. So it's like double the size. So say when you're even buying clothes, like I'm normally a large in a or extra large in a Australia. And in the States, when I'm buying my clothes, I have to go like a size or two sizes down because they're just too big.
Oh, okay. Now, speaking of size, and I did mention some time ago, I want to reach out to you. We can talk about fitness. Now, the backstory was, I remember you made a post on Insta and said that you used to very shy and reluctant to take off your top at the beach or in front of your friends because you are just not confident enough to show your body.
Yeah.
And next thing you know is you did a lot of training and you did a lot of selfie at the beach in the water, which I am super have this anxiety of people dropping their phones. You had a lot of that on an Insta story at some beach in Melbourne. And the next thing I saw was you showing your body with your abs and everything, you got that confidence back. Now, you want to briefly tell everyone, and I know it will start from the mind and planning, what are some of the things you think you can share with us?
Well, the biggest thing, honestly, I didn't want to. I wasn't really aiming to get a six pack or to show to my friends how good I look. All I wanted to do is just to get fitter and stronger on the tennis court. This was meant to be for my tennis pathway instead of my sponsorship looks to get on a television show. So honestly, I was just I started to do a lot more running. So I used to do a lot of running in the National Academy. So once in 2 weeks we'll be running the Botanical Gardens, running the city, Nestle Mountain Park. But it wasn't consistent. We're only running once in 2 weeks, and we're doing fitness. But I was just never really into doing the fitness work when I was younger. One of my friends, everyone will know Thomas Pavlekovic Smith. We were training together one day in early March, and I said to Tom that, man, the way for me to get better and to be, to be able to compete with higher level players was not my tennis, it was my fitness, because I feel like I have one of the biggest serves in my age group. Unbelievable volleys. My backhand has improved a lot. Forehand is pretty good. So over my tennis game, it's pretty good. It's not the best, not the worst. It's pretty average. But what was letting me down was my fitness. So we started doing a 10-month training, our training program. So our off season. So we basically started to do a lot of footwork drills, a lot of running, not so much, long kilometers, but like around 4 to 5 kilometers. And I started to be eating more gluten-free food. So observing all the gluten, and I did realize that it would just make me a bit lighter when I was eating on the gluten-free diet. And also, like, since 2019, when I got diagnosed with that another condition called Addison's disease, which is connected to type 1, I felt like I had more energy when I was taking my pills, my drugs for the disease. And honestly, like, I felt like I could do more. I could, after 3 hours of training on the court and an hour and a half in the gym, I could do something else. So we decided to combine like a 5-hour training day. So we did 2 hours on the court, an hour and a half in the fitness. So when we were in lockdown, of course, we couldn't find a proper gym, but we made our own fitness together with Tom. We did a lot of body weight exercises, not many, deadlifting weights. We just did a lot of core work, hip work, and lower body exercises. And after that, we would go for a nice run. And we did this every single day. So running, I did around four times a week. Mm-hmm. And the improvements were, was very rapid. In May, I started to get a lot leaner and a lot stronger without doing any weights for upper body. And that's when I started to see the six-pack was incoming. And, I wasn't planning to get a six-pack. It's just my benefit of the getting fitter. And this was the routine since March to right now, to this day. And, it's different here in America because not many people run and go for walks in Dallas. I've been running a lot here, still 4 times a week, and no one runs. it's lively. The streets are filled with people, but in the cars, no one really, goes on walks or, goes for runs. They just, that's why I'm not being rude, but there are more, obese people in the States because they don't want to go for the casual run or walk or, to just explore outside. And,
wow.
And that's how it led up to, for me to having this body was this 10 months of hard work. Honestly, if it wasn't for Thomas pushing me, I would be probably the same I was start of 2019, so start of 2020. So honestly, it was, I reckon I give all my credit and my love to Thomas because he pushed me to run my first 10-kilometer run ever. I never ran more than I ran once 8 kilometers in Spain in academy, but there was like 4 kilometers and then off for an hour and another 4 kilometers. But in a row to run 10 kilometers, I never ever did in my life. And it was thanks to Thomas, I did. And since then, once a week I run 10 kilometers. Not, I don't really run. You know, I'm not the fastest runner. I'm not a. I can say, you know, I'm not a marathon runner or a sprinter. I run because I love the sensation of running and getting some hard work done.
Mm. Okay.
Because a lot of coaches said when I was younger that my 10 time is we're doing. Running the Botanical Gardens was like the ultimate test to get under like 16:30, and they said if you get Timmy one day under 16:30, you know, I'll be happy. Three TA Tennis Australia coaches said that to me, and since then I did a 15:58.
My best time around
the 3.8 kilometers, so that's around 4 minutes per kilometer.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, like, I never thought in my whole life I would get even under 17 minutes around the 10. And since, yeah, it's just being consistent and keep never giving up and keep grinding. Because when we were in our second lockdown in August, after around the 10, I did, I don't know, 16:20, I said, I just reflected to myself and saying, I wanted to stop because we were in another lockdown for another 2 months. I said, I want to stop. I don't want to do this hard work again. But I told myself, just keep doing it, and you will see the benefits over the hill. So, yeah, this has been the probably that's why 2020. I feel in my heart feels like it has been my best year in my life. 2020.
All right.
Not in my tennis perspective, but yeah. Everything else.
Okay. Several questions. Did Tom Pav got ripped as well with you?
Yes.
Okay.
So, basically, the first lockdown we were in before June, we spent 1 month going to the school in Brighton.
So yeah.
Public. We had public courts there, so we're going there, and basically the effects of with him and me. Yeah, he didn't really get. That lean, but he got ripped and built.
Oh, I
he
see.
He had some weights and he was doing extra weights.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, yeah, he from both of us perspectives, we both got very ripped and especially with Thomas because he's more solid than me. He's
He's strong, a footy. He's got a footy player frame. Now, secondly, I'm super interested. I should ask first. Is that you said you went on gluten free? And you said you changed your diet here and there. I remember, if you don't know Timmy, go to the first convo. We spend half the time talking about his condition of diabetes, you know, of his sugar level and all that. With your new diet, all right, do you think you have much more control on your game and your fitness than before?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure.
So... This brings me a lot of memories. So firstly, I remember you always take a test of your blood sugar after one set or after each set or even at the one in the morning or even up to, you said, 5 or 6 a day. I could be wrong, but yeah, a lot. Are you doing the similar routine now, or are you very confident that, you know, with your, I guess, your clarity and how your body is feeling, you're ready to play some long matches or even 5-setters?
Yes, I believe right now, because I feel like when we talked last time in April, I didn't have the sensor on me, which is like a brand new sensor which controls the sugar through the insulin pump. So I still need to check my sugar, still around 5 to 6 times a day, but it's monitored from the sensor. So the sensor actually tells me my actual sugar instead of me actually going to my blood glucose meter and checking it again and again and again. So with this, when I'm playing, it needs to be 10 meters away from me. So on the court, it's perfect distance. So I can regulate the sugar more thoroughly and more regularly when I'm on the match court or in training. So I reckon right now I could handle playing without the insulin pump on me for more than 3 hours because of the sensor. If I didn't have the sensor on, then I would need to have the pump on me during after maybe a set and a half or after 2 sets of play.
Okay. All right. So for future reference, for whoever comes across this convo, and obviously I'm not a doctor or you're not a doctor, but this is an example where an individual example where fitness is actually number one is a controller controllables. Right? If you got time on your hand and you got that discipline or that consistency, fitness will help in some way, and or especially for Timmy. Individual may vary, so we don't want to get sued or anything because it's gonna go out there in public. But from my side, I'm super happy for you, Timmy. It just seems like you got your confidence back inside and outside. You got your confidence back as a mature man, because I know you since you were what, 13, 14, and you know, it's been a long journey. And now you are now in college, and then you now have your routine running and doing your thing. So I'm super happy for you. And lastly on this part is when I heard that you're going to college and you signed the paper, I was super happy for you. Not because, you know, for whatever reason with tennis or not, it just seems like I see someone like you who making another step for their career. Some people won't go pro, some people won't go college, but it sounds like you're happy and you're making the right decision. So in this context, I'm super happy for you. Yeah.
No. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
Are you missing your parents?
Well, honestly, my mom is here with me. We arrived in Texas, Dallas on the 5th of January.
Yeah.
And honestly, my dad was meant to come as well for like a mini holiday because they were meant to celebrate the, I think it was the 30th wedding anniversary together.
Yep.
So, before I left, we went out to Botanical Restaurant in right next to the town, and we celebrated together. And my dad sent a letter to the government saying, "Is he, you know, to saying, am I allowed to come as a, you know, carer with my mum to US?" And they said only one parent was allowed. So my mum decided to go because my dad got a new job around that time, around Christmas time, so he didn't have any holidays. And yeah, she's been with me over a month, and she has another 2 weeks to go before she heads back home.
Okay, all right.
But of course, like I will be when she leaves, like, because she's been. We found a Polish restaurant here in right next to the college, and I've been going to the Polish restaurant a lot to get the groceries and even have some dinners there once or twice a week.
Mm-hmm.
But for sure, I will miss my mum soon because it's a classic. It's, I reckon, one of the best Polish European food she makes, and not for sure.
Okay, all right, Timmy. Let's get on the court. Let's get on the court real quick. How do you find yourself on the court hitting and practicing with the team? I'm sure there are some on court sessions.
Yeah, for sure. We've trained every day apart from Sunday, so that's like basically my normal schedule, how it was back at home. We have fitness. You decide if you wanted to do fitness every day or twice, 3 times a week. So I'm choosing to do in fitness, like in the gym 3 times, and then running I do by myself 4 times a week. So basically 3 times a week I'm doing workouts, and 4 to 5 times a week depending on how the intensity is on the court running.
Mm.
So that's the schedule.
Okay. Since that you kind of a rookie over there, is there a sort of any mistreatments? Are you getting along with everyone well? I sound like a dad already. Do you get along with everyone?
Yeah. Everyone on the team is super nice. Half of them, say 70%, 75% of the team is from international.
Oh.
So I've got another Australian friend who's actually with me right now in the college. His name is Charles Hefferman. He's from Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a Polish guy. We've got two Argentinians. We've got a Mexican, a German, three local boys, and a Spanish guy on the team.
Now, just can you give a heads up to Charles? Tennis of Melbourne is more than happy and to have a convo with him at some point down the track. So, so we can talk about that. Okay. Apart from on the court, what we spoke about, that's a short term. Now, are there anything that you want to accomplish in the next few years at college over there? Now, one thing I can say is that every tennis player, Aussie players who go there and they said their doubles got better. Is that something you want to work on while you're there?
For me, doubles is not a problem for me because at a young age, I was winning AMTs, doubles, I can name a lot of players. But for me, doubles has always been my strength. What was not my strength was singles because in some tournaments when I was losing early round in the singles, because we were playing a national championships under 12s or whatever tournament at high level. If I was losing early in the singles, I would always be doing better in the doubles. But if I was doing better in the singles side in the tournament, I would probably be doing a little bit worse in the doubles. So for me, it was more my singles game that needed improvement than my doubles game because over the years, I had really good coaches, John McCurdy, Jamie Parrott, etc. For the volleys and the doubles game. So always I had more. I reckon over my career, I had probably more doubles wins than singles, or more matches in doubles than singles. That's what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
So I strive for the confidence in the doubles with the partner I'm playing with. And I reckon just because I reckon back in the day, say like 2 or 3 years ago, or even later, I felt like why my doubles is very good because in the singles I couldn't handle the third set because of my fitness. When in doubles it was half a quarter only, so I could handle the pressure and the fitness because it's doubles. So I reckon right now I feel like my singles game is a little bit better than my doubles game. It's because I've been playing more singles than doubles over the last year. I haven't played any doubles, so I would say right now my singles game would be much better. But if we were playing equal both, then I reckon I would probably prefer singles because now I can able to fight throughout the whole match and give my 100% effort. Where before, when I was playing a high-level player, I would give a very good fight in the first set, a very good fight in the second if I would win the first, and then in the third set I wouldn't give in, but I would give in or not give up, but I wouldn't have the extra push. Fight or grit to push through in the third because I didn't have the fitness behind my back.
Right.
Where now I have that under my belt, so it's just now playing more matches and gaining more confidence. And because I reckon right now I'm not playing 100% at my level right now. I'm playing pretty well, but there's still some areas I need to improve on as I haven't had a proper private lesson for a couple of months now. So for me, I'm a rhythm player, so I need to find some rhythm before I get any confidence, and that's how it works for me since I was a junior player.
Alright, so for those who are interested into going college, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of pathways, whether you go through an agent or a coach recruits you on social media and all that. Do you want to briefly, you know, not too much, but briefly tell us what was the process like and what were some of the options you had and what are some of the questions you ask yourself to your family or even to the coaches?
Honestly, why I heard or how I heard about the college or a lot of players, for a lot of players, you know, I had Josh Charlton was going, you know, Rinty, all the top players, Campbell, everyone, Connor, DeMarco, Michael Shepherd, all these guys were going to college, and I was always here behind them. So I said, okay, maybe college was the route for me. You know, Thomas Pavlekovic, he was the first one to say he got an offer from the college recruit agency, which is owned by Oliver Good, which was Thomas's and my agent. So I got the agency from Thomas, and we were both meant to go to Weber State College, a Division I in Utah. But because we were going on double scholarship together, so we wanted to go both to the same scholarship. And in Utah, they only had one spot available, so we didn't really want to go, you know, in separate paths. So we declined the offer from Weber State in Utah. We got another offer in Kentucky. Which was NAIA, so basically a completely different division from NCAA and Division I, Division II. Mm-hmm. And this one was a 4-year college where we couldn't transfer anywhere from NAIA to NCAA because it was on division. And honestly, because I wasn't really familiar with the system, so I was like, oh yeah, you know, this sounds good. And I said, Thomas, is this the, you know, is this a good place to go? And he said, Timmy, like, we wait for more, we wait till more offers come. And so we declined on this. You know, it was this 2019 August, that's when Thomas and I we got the agent and we started looking together. And some scenarios came that, you know, the expenses that for Thomas is because he wanted to go to the Division I, but because of me, I wasn't eligible to go to a Division I NCAA college or NCAA Division II colleges because I didn't do the right subjects in year 10 to year 12.
Mm-hmm.
So even though, you know, I got the right SAT score and, you know, my tennis was, of course, was acceptable, it's just my courses or my subjects I chose from year 10 to year 12 were, you know, it was, I chose pretty good subjects, but it wasn't the right subject, core subject, so I didn't choose any science, no social science, no environment, humanities or geography, so I was limited of the offers to go to a Division I school, so when this offer came that Oliver found from me to go to a junior college for 2 years or year and a half to be eligible to transfer to Division I college, I was like, of course, because I wanted to go to a junior college because they had really good competition, they had a good schooling, they had a good, really good
culture,
surroundings. So, okay. Yeah, culture was really good. The courts really nice, the buildings, all this beautiful area, and right in Dallas as well. So honestly, when I saw it, and even Thomas said, yeah, go for this because, you know, junior, you can transfer into, you know, a really good one school. So I was like, I signed it straight away. But when I signed it last year around April, I kept it on the low side because I was like, oh, I was signing, but I wasn't really planning to actually go to college. I was like 50-50 on it because my parents really wanted me to still study because they're all about study, but they just worried that, like, they don't have enough money to support, to travel to Europe for the whole year and pay, I don't know, more than $100,000 each year. So they said, you get free education, free tennis. You know, everything for free, it's just the accommodation, you're paying the food. So I was like, full scholarship, I was like, okay, this is it, because, you know, I can save, you know, less stress for my parents, not paying anything. They can save up some money, so when I, even after a year and a half, if I do break through over this summer or even next summer, get a couple ATP points, I can probably delay the studies and focus on the tennis. But right now it's like focusing on both, on the studies and the tennis, because we are in the world right now that, you know, Europe is closed, and we can't really play any tournaments there. You know, America, same thing. We are free, so we can do anything we want here. But I don't know about the tournaments here. Yeah. We have a lot of UTR Pro tournaments and some futures, but during the season, the tennis season, you're not allowed to travel. So that's one negative thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, back at home in Australia, you know, with this 5-day lockdown, I heard, and not many tournaments are really happening. There are tournaments around, but I think it was a good decision from my parents to and my coach from Spain, Enrique, in Moya.
Okay.
He wanted me to go to college just to have a backup plan.
Yeah.
Because my eyes are all about the tennis. You know, this year I missed my fifth year as a hitting partner at Australian Open, and
yep.
this is my third time of year because of the Australian Open.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm watching it. I'm really, watching it every night, and I miss it. Honestly, all I can say is Melbourne is probably the best. You know, Australia and Melbourne is probably one of the best countries in the world.
Mm,
you know,
yeah.
America, I like it, but it's completely different. It's you know, you don't get the same atmosphere like how you do back at home. It's completely different here. Okay, you get maybe benefits of the schooling here and the tennis in the college, and maybe cheaper, I don't know, clothes and accessories here. But honestly, back at home, it's the real deal. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, we've got, you know, all my good friends, you know, everyone, you, Tom, everyone, you know, it's hard, honestly. Like, I had maybe some tear-free moments that, like, you know, I said, oh, maybe I made the wrong decision. Maybe I want to come back and just focus on attendance and maybe do online university.
Mm-hmm.
But my parents paid quite a lot of money on the college because of their health insurance for me, and they paid the private health, like, I reckon, I don't know, over $10,000 just on the health insurance, because the health insurance here is really expensive. So what they did for me, it's quite a lot. So I said, it's too late to go back, and we just have to keep grinding and just see what happens. And we just take it day by day. And
thank you. So thank you for the brutal information. So I never thought you'd dig that deep. Okay. Well, speaking of AO that you just mentioned, Sue Wei lost yesterday, which is slightly devastating. And you want to tell people that who are listening, I think it was a few years ago, 3-4 years ago, you were the official, and I'll say this again, you were the official hitting partner for Sue Wei, and she went from... I think she got to the quarterfinals. No, fourth round of quarterfinals.
So Sue Wei, last night she went down, unfortunately, but made an incredible effort to make the quarterfinals of the Grand Slam. She played Osaka. I didn't only watch like a few games of that match because the power I was talking to yesterday, our electricity was down and the power because of the horrific weather we have in Dallas. We had -15 temperatures, and all over Texas, the state, the electricity was down. So I couldn't watch any tennis on the TV, and our heating was off and everything was off. So I was watching a couple of the highlights and from a streaming app on my phone, and just watching a bit of Sue Wei. So yeah, it was like 3 years ago. I was the heating partner for her for that week, the 2 weeks. I think she made the fourth round of the AO in 2018, and wow, yeah. When I was, you know, very happy. I messaged her last week and saying, you know, good luck, and hopefully, you know, you do what I said to her. I'm not going to be here this year, so sorry if I can't not hit with you, but there are other very good players out there who can give you very good hits. And she was like, okay, no worries, Timmy. And
oh wow, so you were talking to her.
Yeah, so I talked to her, like, she messaged me, says, oh, Timmy, can I train with you? I said, unfortunately, so I'm in the States in the college. She said, oh, I'm missing you. I said, oh, same. And honestly, yeah, it's the last couple of years, so last year I had, she lost earlier, here with only like a day, and mm-hmm. then 2019 she did pretty well. So honestly, I have a good relationship with her and the coach, Paul McNamee.
Yeah.
I really like him a lot. He's such a nice guy, humble guy. And he actually, practice that Sue actually called me to train with Sue. It was actually Paul McNamee. He saw me train, I don't know, with some other girl from America. I think it was Shelby Rogers.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, oh, I know you. Yeah. You are the beat server from Poland, because I'm half Polish. I'm more Polish in Australia. I said, yeah, that's me. So can you be hitting partner for a couple of days or 3 days, which is always depending how she goes. I said, yeah, for sure. And from then on, yeah, just we've coached and it's a very good relationship. And yeah, honestly, I was watching her progress in this year's Aussie Open and watching her matches. And yeah, honestly, making a quarterfinal of a Grand Slam, unbelievable effort. But it's, you know, to make a quarterfinals of a Grand Slam, it's, you know, one of the hardest things to do in our sport, but she managed to do it. And to lose to a three-time Grand Slam champion, Naomi Osaka, you know, even though it was less than an hour match, but incredible effort. And my respect goes to her and all her team and what she accomplished this week.
Yeah, wow. Timmy, I'm not going to let you go unless you tell everyone who is going to be the semi-finalist for AO, for men's and women's.
The Grand Slam champions, you mean?
Finalist. I don't need to know champion. Everyone trying to guess a champion. Final. Who's going to be in the final?
Okay, so in the men's, I have to stick with Novak Djokovic, even though that Karatsev, he's looking really good, but something about Djokovic and Australian Open just matches, it's like a match in heaven. So Djokovic, and in the semi-final, because you've got Rafa Nadal and Tsitsipas playing tonight, you've got Medvedev and Rublev.
Yeah.
So I'm saying, I'm going to... that's tough. I'm gonna risk it a bit. I'm gonna say Medvedev Djokovic final.
Okay, good.
Because I believe that it's gonna be a really good match between the two Russians, Rublev and Medvedev. But Medvedev, he has a little bit more than Rublev, even though Rublev has a little bit more aggressiveness than Medvedev. And I don't think if Rafa beats Tsitsipas, Medvedev will beat Rafa on the Rod Laver, because it's a bit quicker, so he likes the quicker courts. Medvedev.
Yep.
So yeah, that's my prediction. Then in the women, I'm predicting Barty and Williams.
Barty and Williams, yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Barty Williams, because Barty's playing incredible right now, and same with Serena. I watched the match with Halep on my phone, and yeah, she played incredible.
Yeah.
What a match.
Okay, wow. Timmy, it has been a wonderful time. You know, time flies, you know, nearly 40 minutes. And for those who got to this point, apologies, because we are now connecting on Instagram, just a phone call, no video, just phone call. And all my podcasts are all done on audio only. For those who are still listening and keeping up with Tennis of Melbourne, my next project, or our next project, is going to call Coffee with Tom. So for those who are around Melbourne and now the lockdown, hopefully no more lockdowns, I'm just going to reach out to certain individuals and tennis people, and we're just going to have a coffee, and we'll do it live, face to face, and we'll go from there. And Timmy, I will save, and I'll say this, I will save a spot when you come back for a quick holiday, if you're allowed.
That sounds good.
You are a coffee lover, right? Or you just have...
Oh, yeah. I don't mind coffee, but I'm an iced coffee lover. I love more of a sweet tooth guy. So, yeah,
okay.
I don't mind some coffee.
And between Melbourne and Dallas, iced coffee, which one would you pick?
Oh, Melbourne. Honestly, what we've got in Australia and Melbourne is... Honestly, I'm not being rude, but we are spoiled. Here in America, crap coffee. Honestly, the where the breakfast is here, and my food in the cafeteria, I mean, it's just fried burgers, chips. So I'm buying in the cafeteria. It's like takeaway, like mashed potatoes, vegetables, beef. So I'm eating like a journeyman. So I'm not eating, you know, I haven't eaten any American food since I'm here. I'm only eating European food. I found a really good Asian spot just 10 minutes away from me. And I've recently, I think I posted on my Instagram, I've purchased a new car, my new car in America. So I have a car now to drive to the groceries and get some beautiful coffee. I found a really good coffee spot, but honestly, Melbourne, best coffee.
All right, we'll do another convo about food in America versus Melbourne. Oh, Dallas versus Melbourne. Actually, no. Actually, the curiosity just clicked in. Where you stay, are you close to NBA, the Dallas Mavericks?
Honestly, we're like 25 minutes away.
Oh, I'm so jealous. So jealous.
Yeah.
Oh, I would love to watch. 25 minutes away. I love to watch. All right, well, we'll leave NBA and other sports, food for our next convo. Timmy, I want to thank you very much for your time and that last minute. And the full story behind Timmy and myself, because yesterday it didn't go through. I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm going to talk to, you know, Timmy, you know, a few months later. But then this morning you just like, hey, Tom, I'm free. What's the time over there? 2-3 o'clock. Sure, no worries. So 7:30 in the morning, bang. I set up the convo, and next thing you know, I just had a good time listening to your stories. Now, last but not least, Tennis of Melbourne, we now have a thing rolling out. It's called More Tennis UTR Melbourne. Be sure to follow. Now, you mentioned about UTR just before. If Tennis of Melbourne, or we're already running tournaments now. So, in your experience, Timmy, what are some of the things you would love to see and you expect from a tournament?
For me, it's what I expect is just would love to have I don't know how I can say, maybe some spectators watching some matches to get some involvement into our sport. And I feel like maybe we need to explore some different clubs in Melbourne, you know, if we haven't played in yet, so I can't really name any from my top, but honestly help some local clubs out and put some big events there, maybe some UTRs or some, you know, Platinum AMTs there. And just probably that's it, you know, from my perspective.
That is something I wanted to do as well. It's not just, you know, players play, can also have some social event. Again, all within COVID regulations. That's actually a good point. That's something I want to plan as well. Well, thanks for the idea, because sometimes when I realize when the idea is set up by my team and I'm not sure whether it's going the right way or not, but now you said it, you know, we can actually do something. Yeah. Because I just spoke to Jacob Grills a few weeks ago at AO in the ATP Cup. Basically, he says, you know, if there's some spectators and some live music and some social scenes, it actually helps players to play, you know, in more relaxed form, and also I get exactly what you mean. All right, so UTR Melbourne, More Tennis UTR Melbourne. That's the Instagram, and also feel free to, you know, set up an UTR account and look for Tennis of Melbourne, and we'll have events. We already ran about nine or ten events this year, just a short ones, and then later down the track, once everything opens up, we'll have more 1 or 2 day events. Timmy, last but not least, Tennis of Melbourne is about appreciation. I know you appreciate people before last convo. Now, are there anyone you wanted to appreciate between now and last time we spoke?
Yeah, for sure. First of all, you know, I would love to thank you, my agent, Oliver Good from the College Recruit, for allowing me and offering me this opportunity to go to the States, to college, to still make me play my sport I love the most, and to have a backup in the studies. And I'm very appreciative of Oliver for doing this for me and my family. Second of all, I think, of course, it has to be my parents, my mom and my dad. It's been tough last year since my dad lost the job in June, you know, to pay the bills. You know, my mom was the one making the money. And honestly, if it wasn't for her, honestly, I would not be where I am today in Dallas, because right with my conditions and the medical history, pretty expensive with the private health. So definitely my dad and my mom for paying all these bills for me, and very appreciative of that. You know, if it wasn't for them, I would be back at home and maybe not playing tennis at all. Third of all, it's just everyone in Melbourne, my coaches. You know, I have to thank everyone: John McCurdy, Mark Alawadi, Jamie Parrott, Amrik, Enrique Moya, everyone who coached me in Melbourne, all my friends I have back there, family friends, tennis friends, everyone. I'm missing them so much. Like every day I'm thinking of you guys. It's tough, you know. I never been by myself in my life, you know, in another country, and it's hard, but I've got good support with me in the States, and it's just, yeah, it's a different experience, a different chapter for me, and honestly, missing everyone back at home. And honestly, last of all, is I think my I just have to thank my college coach for just believing in me and offering me this opportunity to play in the number one position in the team, and just making me feel welcome in the team, because it's tough. You know, maybe some coaches you go to in different universities, they, you know, you may not like, but honestly, everyone here in my team, even the women's team, they feel like home to me. They make me feel welcome here. And and that's all my thank yous to everyone.
Wow, Timmy. All right, Timmy, you want to say quick goodbye to everyone, but stay on the line.
Yeah. See you guys, everyone from Tennis of Melbourne. You know, I'll be back in the winter. Winter holidays, okay. In May, and hopefully everyone stays safe. Hopefully everyone is doing well, you know, staying positive through these tough times, and hopefully you're enjoying the Australian Open right now, and keep playing and just enjoying life. And I will see you guys very soon, and just, you know, lots of love here from Dallas, in a very cold Dallas. And yeah, that's
okay. Cool.
That's my.
All right. Thank you very much for listening. So Timmy, still stay on the line. So my name is Tom, your host. Until next time. Bye bye.